Heavenly Father, we do thank you for today and that we can open your word and learn from it. Lord, we ask that you humble us today. Allow us to come before you and learn from what you say. Amen. Now, I'm not sure what everyone else does in their downtime, but when I get a chance to have some downtime, the opportunity to relax, I do what I've been told isn't actually relaxing. See, I'm not too fond of watching my favorite movie on repeat, or reading a good book with a big glass of wine, or lying on the beach preparing my tan for the summer. I like to create, or as Molly calls it, do craft. You know, whether that's in the garage or in the kitchen, and if I'm really desperate, out in the garden. You know, there's nothing better than taking a big slab of timber and crafting it into something new. Now, I've brought something. I made this out of some scrap fly we had lying around. A couple of hours of measuring and cutting, gluing, I even lacquered it. Doesn't it look great? No. It's not. This is horrible, I thought. These two angles are slightly different. I'm holding it all the way back here so you can't tell. This morning I found some sunlight in the bottom there, and this middle is just like a dog's breakfast. It's not supposed to move, but it's a feature. Now, while I enjoy crafting this, and one day I will find a purpose for it, not everything went as it should have. And I've been thinking, why did everything not go as it should have? And it comes down to just being human. You know, I may have measured something slightly off, or I lost concentration for a second, whatever it was. You see, my purpose that afternoon was to make this useful caddy. And I fulfilled my purpose just fine, but not perfectly. And so can I say that afternoon I was good in a way that God said his creation was good, perfectly fulfilling its purpose? No, I can't. Now, this confuses me a little bit, and I'm hoping that it confuses you because it won't make me feel so bad. But over the last 3 weeks, we've been thinking about God and his creation. God created the world and everything in it, and when he finished, he stepped back and had a look, and he said it was good. It all perfectly fulfilled its purpose. And I understand that I was created by God, and therefore I should have fulfilled my purpose perfectly. But as we can see, I didn't. And so that makes me think, where else do I fall short? And am I the only one? Are you perfect at everything you do all the time? Are you perfect at being a parent, at being a husband or a wife? Were you the perfect child, the perfect friend, the perfect worker, or the perfect student? Why do we fall short? Is it because of that age-old excuse, we're only human? Well, 2 weeks ago, we were shown that God made everything just by speaking his word. And last week, we were shown that humanity was the pinnacle of this creation. God created humanity and he stepped back and he said that we were good. We perfectly fulfilled our purpose. So that excuse of being human, it's just that. It's an excuse and it's a poor one. It doesn't give us the reason why. So again, I ask, why is the world not like it was when it was first created? Why, instead of everything working perfectly, it's opposite to the Midas touch? Instead of turning to gold, it just turns to junk. Well, we all know this answer. We've been talking about it already this service. It's because of sin. But what is sin? Where does it come from? And why does sin mean things fall short of perfectly fulfilling their purpose? We're going to spend the next little while looking to the Bible for these answers. You see, we're going to look to the Bible because these answers, these questions come from the answer, are from the Bible. Sin is a biblical word. And so looking the definition up in the dictionary, it doesn't give us the full understanding. You can trust me on this one because when I saw I got the sermon on sin, I thought this is going to be great. I'm going to bring my dictionary in, I'm going to read it out, and we're going to move on to supper. Unfortunately, it didn't work out like that. Here's the definition from the dictionary. Transgression of divine law. And while having a quick look, have a look at Genesis 2. Genesis 2, 17. God tells Adam not to eat from the tree of knowledge. And then in chapter 3, verse 6, both Adam and Eve eat from the tree that they were told not to. So on one level, it looks like exactly what the dictionary says. But I said, it doesn't give us the full understanding. To be able to fully grasp what sin is, we need to look more at what is happening around. God is clearly saying to Adam that he could eat every tree except from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So what's so bad about knowing good and evil? Well, nothing. You see, Adam understood evil. He grasped the concept of death, and he knew that it was bad. And we know this because of chapter 2, verse 17. So what's so bad about this fruit? The key to working this out is looking at the conversation between Eve and the serpent. You see, the serpent doesn't trick Eve, but persuades her to eat the fruit. And he does this by telling half-truths. The serpent says two things that are true. Have a read of verse 5. Verse 5 reads, "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened," that's the first, "and you will be like God," that's the second. Both of those are true. And you can see that if you go further down. In verse 7, it says, "Then the eyes were opened." And verse 22, "The Lord said, the man has now become like one of us." Now, the striking thing about this is that weren't Adam and Eve already like God? I mean, God made man in his image. So how did we become more like God? See, we wanted to decide for ourselves what was good and what was evil. Up until now, Adam and Eve were told by God what was good and what was evil. Yeah, and that's his prerogative. I mean, we're his creation living in his world. But Adam and Eve say, "You know what? I want to be the one that decides what's good and what's evil." And as soon as they claimed that power for themselves, they realized what they'd done and why it was wrong. It says there that they were ashamed. Now, as you probably know, I'm going to be a father soon, and I picture this scenario happening quite a few times over, at least when it's a toddler. You know, you tell your toddler not to do something, and then you tell them why, because they'll hurt themselves or they'll break something, and then they get that, give you that look. I mean, if you're a parent, you know the look, and if you're not, you've probably seen it, the look that says, "You are a massive dope, and I'll decide if this is right or wrong." So I tell my toddler not to do something. Says, "Playing with the sliding door, don't play with the sliding door because you'll slam your fingers in it." And they give me the look, "You're a dope, Dad. This isn't bad, this is fun. I'm going to do it." And they play with the door, and then bang! They slam their fingers in it, they burst into tears, and I get in trouble for not telling them that something bad is going to happen. So it's a big power struggle. Everyone wants to have the power to call the shots. And that's what sin is. It's just a quest for power. And at the heart of this quest is rebellion. Rebellion against God. God, he's given us the whole world to rule. And he's going to set the parameters and he's going to make the rules. But humanity, we said, "Nah. We want your job. We want to make the rules to decide what is right and wrong." The serpent said that eating the fruit will make us like God. And as I said, that's a half-truth because we did become like God, but not in a good way, in a false way. By making our own rules, we reject God as God. We put ourselves above the law. Sin is not being a lawbreaker. Sin is being a lawmaker. Sin is the rejection of God's rule, rebelling against God in order to claim the power of making the laws for ourselves. Now, how would you feel if someone did that to you, rejected and rebelled against you just to take your power, and everything you've done was for their good. Think about your child or your spouse doing that. It's heartbreaking. You'd be angry and disappointed. Now imagine that happening trillions of times over, because that is what God is going through. So that's what sin is, but where did it come from? And why does it affect me? Quite simply, sin comes from denial. In Genesis 3, there are two big denials that still happen today. And the first of that is the denial of God's word. You see, in chapter 3, verse 1, the serpent changes what God says. God said, "You can eat from any tree in the garden except the tree of knowledge." And then the serpent says, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree?" Now, changing God's word, that's how the Roman Catholics got in trouble when they said that the bread and wine in the Lord's Supper was more than just a reminder, it was actually the body and blood. And then the woman adds to God's word, which we all know is bad, because adding to God's word is how we got the prosperity gospel, or the idea that baptism and confirmation goes towards salvation. Adding towards God's word, it has dire consequences. Yet that's what the woman does. Verse 3, "You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die." God never said not to touch it. The third denial of God's word, it's just a flat out contradiction. Verse 4, the serpent says, "You will not certainly die." Now, compared to where I live, we're in the middle of nowhere. But I bet you I could walk less than 500 meters and find someone that believes something that totally contradicts what's in the Bible. So where does sin come from? It comes from denying God's word. But it also comes from denying responsibility. Oh, we didn't read this far, but down in verse 12, I love this. Jesus, after they've eaten the fruit, he comes to find them after they're hiding, and he confronts the man and asks what's going on. And he says, "The woman that you gave me." And the woman says, "The serpent." And there's arms going everywhere, blame flying around. It's kind of like a dance party going on. It kind of happens like this at home sometimes. Molly will go to the fridge, open it, and then you hear, "Who had the last of the Sprite?" Now, I can be looking at the glass that I had it with, but my default answer is, "I think you must have." And then I have to think about, "No, wait, I think I did." See, sin comes from the denial of God's word, but it also comes from the denial of responsibility. And these denials, they come from both outside of us and inside us. The serpent and his rebellion against God, that's clearly outside of ourselves. The serpent, the devil, he's cunning in what he does. He promises freedom, but all he delivers is bondage. He promises the world when we already had it, and yet he just takes it away. He convinces us that he's our friend and God is our enemy when it's the other way around. And still today, the devil is cunning. He convinces us that he doesn't exist, that there's no such thing as evil or sin. Things just happen. And if things just happened, and if there was a God, he wouldn't let these things happen. And it's a smart play. So sin starts from what is outside, but it works because of what is inside us. Have a look at verse 6. "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it." She saw and she said to herself, "Yeah, I want that. It looks like it'll taste good. It'll go well in my salad." And it's quite obviously one of those newfangled superfoods, because eating it will help me gain wisdom. The appeal from outside only works because it appeals to something inside of us. We believe these lies because, as I said, they're half true. They say what we want to believe. You see, sin comes from denial of God's word and denial of responsibility. And it pokes its ugly head up from outside us and inside us. And sin still affects us today, even though we didn't personally eat the fruit. Because Genesis 3 isn't a story of one man. It's an account of one humanity. It wasn't just Adam who rejected and rebelled against God, but each one of us, as if we were all there. Did you choose what country you were born in? No, certainly not. That's because you were born in the country your parents were at. And watching the Olympics over the past few weeks, it gives us a great example of being born into something or not being born into something. Now, while I understand getting into the Olympics is hard work and training, it still requires a certain amount of genetics to be able to get you there. Our weightlifters, if they have a family history of weak knees, when they step up to lift 700-800 kilos above their head, their knees are going to pop. Long jumpers, they need to have the genetic makeup to be able to fly. Swimmers need to have big shoulders, basketballers need to be tall, and for some reason, gymnasts need to be Chinese. You see, it wasn't just Adam that sinned against God, but it was humanity that did it. Our part in sin, it doesn't stop in inheriting it. We each play an active role. We want to make our own choices of what is good and what is evil. And the funny thing about that is that we got exactly what we want. We get to decide what is good and what is evil. But we fail in deciding. We fail in ruling ourselves, in ruling society, and in ruling the world. Australia, our great nation, is built off the back of this failure to rule. A nation of convicts, sour over for stealing bread. Now, stealing bread is a bad thing. It's evil. But the bread was stolen because the rich and the powerful wouldn't help the poor feed their family. So that would make stealing right, because the only way to feed their family is to get this bread. And so it's the rich and the powerful who are doing evil by not helping. But the rich and the powerful, they did nothing wrong. So they're good. And these convicts, they stole, which is evil. I just confused myself. So we failed to rule. How about this one? Let me tell you about a sailor. He was a very good sailor. Always on duty, always stayed awake, always kept watch. He supported and helped his shipmates, took their watch when they were sick. He was deeply loyal and respectful to his captain. There once was a faultless sailor. Now, we would say that this sailor was good. But what if I told you that he sailed under the flag with a skull and crossbones? This sailor was a pirate. Now, pirates, we would class them as evil. But this pirate, we just said he was good. Is he good or is he evil? A failure to rule. In summary, sin is rejecting God's rule, rebelling against God to take the power to choose what is good and what is evil for ourselves. It comes from the denial of God's word and the denial of responsibility. We're all involved in sin, both corporately and personally. And worst of all, we fail to rule as we so desire. The last 3 weeks, we've been painted this perfect picture of creation. And today, I got to destroy that picture. And I hope that you feel the weight of sin, because it is a horrific thing. Let me leave you with the comfort that there is a way back. It will get better, but not before it gets worse. Because there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. So what will God do about this rebellion?